This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? It's been a lot of not best news on this side of the pond these days. Tough derby. 2-0 loss. Maybe it could have been worse, but I think the boys were in it for the first half, but then just got outplayed in the second. How are you feeling these days?
When you're in a race for the top four, you're not quite out of it, and you lose 7 of 9. It's going to be tough times, sir. Tough times all around. Of course, those losses include 2 against Barcelona, so the numbers sound a little inflated. But losing to City in this fashion at home, I mean, gutted. Just gutted, especially with Arsenal dropping critical points against Wolves like we said they would. The baby bitches.
Hope they would. They didn't let us down, though. Arsenal are the bottlers. Somehow we're actually, like, mathematically, sir, we're still in it, even with this loss against City. I mean, hey, man, we went out with more pride than the Everton game. We got drubbed 4-0 in that game. But this one, this was sad because I think we actually played as well as we could have played probably in certain regards in the first half. And then their squad, the other team's squad just showed their class, bro. They're way ahead of us in terms of their players, the eagerness to play. Like, they show more hunger. And the fact that the City team is showing more hunger than a Manchester United team is woeful. So,
woeful.
It's a dark day, dude. Dark day.
Claro. And the fact that a lot of these goals are coming from errors lately, goalkeeping errors, defensive errors, or lazy defending in general. This is a derby we're playing at home. The least we can expect is tough challenges and a high work rate from the boys. And you can definitely look at that stat sheet and be like, City outran us at home. A lot of yogging in that midfield. I mean, we'll get to it, but let's jump in the lineup. We had Dave Saves, the former world number one in net. We had the back three we called Young, Smalling, Lindelof. We had Darmian and Shaw in the wing-back roles. In the midfield three, Pereira, Fred, Pogba midfield. I did like Pereira coming in. I thought he's come good recently in EPL matches as a sub. He's got the hunger, so give the youngster a shout. And then the front two of Lingard and Rashford. This was a little bit of a surprise. Jesse Lingard has not come off since that Arsenal FA Cup win, and he's been lagging, so I would have prefer to Lukaku up there, maybe bully the miniature City defenders. Sir, how are you feeling about that lineup?
Sir, I had some question marks. You know, I was a little worried not to see my boy McTominay, a.k.a. McSauce, not even on the bench. I do like Pereira, so I was happy to see him slot in. Darmian, hey, man, return of the chops. That was exciting for me. I should have worn the jersey. Maybe he would have gotten a goal, but actually, I thought he looked better than Ashley Young, so Darmian, dude, why not? But I have to agree with you on Lingard, man, because he would have been the difference maker. If he had a game, we could have been in this, and he didn't have a game. So I think, you know, Alexis Sanchez could have changed it. But to be fair, Lingard created some stuff. We just didn't have the product.
He didn't have that final product, and that's been missing in his locker of late. I haven't counted the days since he scored, but it has been a bit, especially.
Can't even remember. Do you remember the last goal he scored?
It had to be against Arsenal FA Cup, right? He scored 2, I believe. I think it was a brace. Either way, apologies for the audio delay here. The American Red Devils. I'm on the road in New York City, enjoying it. Going to be a riot to watch the Chelsea game here, sir. How you doing back in San
Smithfield,
Francisco,
sir? You gonna get the proper experience?
I'm going to watch it in New York City. I'm going to watch on the flight back from New York City. So somehow I booked my flight during the Chelsea game and they got Wi-Fi on Delta, so I'm going to be streaming it some subpar quality. in a coach seat. So, you know, it's going to be a hell of an effort for me to watch
this game.
Good
luck, sir. Hell of an effort.
Well, actually, they
have
live TV,
to watch United.
Yeah, and they have live TV, too, so I might be able to grab it there. Either way, me wearing a Manchester United jersey, screaming in my seat, they'd be like, sir, please calm down back there.
Hey, you got to tell them it's top four. It's all about the top four. We're still in it.
But you know what's funny?
Before
we jump into the breakdown of this miserable match, which I feel the American Red Devils podcast has been pretty tough breaking down a few of these games. It's almost like we keep losing. We keep underperforming across the board. Effort, finishing, defense, pick a category. But we're not out of top four. So every game is a must win. So every game is a must win, and every must win we lose. So as soon as
we've lost every must win, all the recent must wins we've lost. They're still in it. We're still in it somehow.
I got a feeling we're out of it. We're going to win every game. We're going to look great. So like Chelsea will beat us.
Smoke Huddersfield
like 9-0. You know,
yeah, Mason Greenwood will have a hat trick.
Exactly. But I think, you know, you're familiar with the myth of the Phoenix. From the ashes, rise anew. My attitude about this season, especially given the result here, Liverpool looking like they are not going to win the league, that makes me feel a lot of joy. I wasn't rooting against our team, obviously, because we have top four. Arsenal did drop those points. But I'm excited for this team to get ripped up. I'm tired of watching these players, seeing the Pogbas, the Freds, the Lingards, and even the Rashfords underperforming here, and we need an injection of new talent. We need a new director of football. We'll get to that later. But I'm excited for Manchester United 4.0, if you would call it, post-Ferguson, because
4.0.
I am tired of watching this team, and I'm excited to get to this summer and have them just rip out the problematic players root and stem, whether that be Paul Pogba, Romelu Lukaku, David De Gea. I mean, a lot of these players have question marks over their head when it comes to the transfer news. Everyone's calling for their heads, but I'm excited for the new phase. So I'm going to, even though it's going to be a miserable match breakdown, trying to bring some positivity here. You know, never say die. Manchester United. I'm excited for 4.0.
Sir, 4.0. This is why the American Red Devils podcast format works best when it does bad cop, good cop. And usually you're bad cop. I tend to be good cop.
I'm bad cop, bro.
I am feeling, I did the agenda. I got nicknames for all the players that play that are not that positive. So we're going to switch roles today. And it wasn't even decided that way. It's just
bash him so long.
I'm not feeling positive and you're feeling positive. So that's something.
How long can you be angry? Right? How many games can you watch this team just play like this? And then
now I'm
not
angry. Now I'm just dejected, right? I'm dejected because like you could tell that City has a team that's been invested in. They've gotten rid of players in multiple waves and reinvested and bought like the best players available over a series of years. And we're just like miles off, bro. Our defense, like if you compare our defense, our back five to their back four, it's just like we're talking chess versus checkers.
They've been more ruthless in their transfer strategy. They fire faster than Manchester United.
They've had a director of football. They've had like an overall structure beyond just like managers, right? Because they have had different managers. It hasn't just been Pep, but there's been continuity across that. And we haven't had that because the people that are in charge of transfers don't know shit about football and they defer to the manager. And when you get Fergie, it was no problem. And even like Fergie, he didn't get as much investment as United used to do. You know, when we used to buy the Ferdinands and the Rooneys and even like the Roy Keens and the, you know, it's like you would spend top dollar. We would have no problem doing it. And we just don't, we do it like occasionally, like we'll do a Pogba, we'll do a Lukaku, but we used to splash money so consistently the way City's doing now. And that's what you need. You need to do that to compete. And right now we're left with a squad that is like got so much work to be done. I am excited to see what happens, but I don't think Ole's going to get the backing. The board really realizes how much money needs to be spent, how much work the squad needs. But hey, it's still Manchester United. Still love this club.
Yeah.
We got the history. We got the academy. We got the fans. But hey, we're still in top four. That speaks to how good of a job Ole did, right? Because we're in the running.
Yeah, no, of course. But Gary Neville said it best, I think. And then post-game recap, Roy Keane, shout out to him. He was taking us to church, sir. He had some great rants. If you haven't seen him, go on YouTube, check him out. But he said they are what they are. Like Manchester United, they are who we thought they were. Fred gave the ball away, they scored. Darmian didn't close Sané down, they scored. De Gea, his mind's in Madrid, he let in a goal. Like what we're seeing is the best this team can play. Like we're seeing the results of the players on the field, and that's how I feel. So the only silver lining I can find is Can't wait for 4.0. Can't wait for rebuild 4.0 with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the helm. I'm excited to get rid of this dead wood. Again, this team is kind of done for me. We got, what, three games left? Hey, if we win three in a row, great. Either way, my view is we need a major rehaul in the summer, and I'm excited for hashtag Woodward350. That being said, sir, let's jump in the first half. This is going to be tough to go through.
From the first half is better than the second.
From the jump, United going at City, end-to-end stuff. I mean, they had...
It was a good first half.
Through the first 10 minutes, they still had 70% of the ball. Like we said, on our tactical breakdown, they come out 4-3-3. They take a lot of the ball at our house. They punish us on the counter. They break us down. And man, when City starts screwing, getting in the final third, the screws start tightening. It's tough for this defensive line of Darmian, Young, Smalling, Lindelof, and Shaw to do work for the full 90 minutes. 16th minute, big chance from Lingard as Pogba finds him with a great pass. And this is Pogba's trademark lately. In the first 15 minutes, he does one good pass, and then he's off the rest of the game. So hell of a pass from Pogba, kind of cuts open the defense. Literally, there was nothing there, and Lingard couldn't get a boot to it. I mean, this would have been, if Lingard was able to slot this, I mean, this is a double black diamond finish here.
I mean, it would have been a world-class finish, and it's probably too much to ask an out-of-form Lingard, but even Pogba Yagen, bro, he still put off a world-class pass, which this was, so... He's creating, but we need someone at the end of there finishing.
Yeah, and he goes missing. And we had our chances here. 19th minute, another big chance, this time from Rashford, but Edison came out and cleared the ball. Cracking challenge. I mean, we mentioned Ederson in the breakdown last pod. He is the difference for Manchester City with Bravo at the back. They probably never win the league. And Ederson, he's been the solution for Pep Guardiola back there. Tough challenge. I mean, if he didn't come out and play this strong, Rashford was in through on goal, probably finishes. Given his form, who knows? But again, Ederson, you got to give kudos to him. And when we're not giving kudos to De Gea on the other side, I mean, we're doomed, right? We would expect De Gea to bail us out, or if he would have a worldie of a game, it could have been 0-0. 23rd minute, Rashford takes a shot from way out. I mean, this kind of showed you United's tactics. It's like, if we even get a sniff, we're going to take it, right? And Rashford, I mean... Well done to the lad. I mean, he should take it. He could score it, but again, a little off the mark. His long shots haven't really been on target lately. So I don't really rate these are going in.
No, but they're the right attitude because you're not going to get a ton of chances. But they did have some chances, right? I think the United, if you're going to bear halves, we had a much better half in the first half.
I mean, these
than the
are less
half.
Than half chances. I think three of these are pretty like...
No, but we contained City, bro. Chances. They didn't have big chances. They had much bigger chances in the second half, which I'm saying is our work rate tired. So we ran out of legs by the second half. I think we came out, we played as well as we can be, and then they just went into another gear and blew us away in the second half. And that's concerning, bro, because this is our first starting 11, and they have like... You know, they have more. They had even more firepower on the bench to bring on. And not to say we didn't, but...
Well, how many games have we broken down recently where, like, the first 20 minutes we, like, have a few half chances and then we just
and don't
fall
take them.
Apart?
Yep. I mean, you need to take one of these, right? Like, the 31st first minute with Rashford, he got his pocket picked on a break and he should have done better playing 1-2 with Lingard. Like, they weren't clicking today. And we needed them to click because there was so much expectation. Not expectation. There's so much on those front two to score and create something. It was all through them. I mean, if you watch the game.
These are like, you're relying on a world-class ball from Pogba. You barely get a sniff at goal. Rashford gets a shot from 35 yards. I mean, these are not real, like, clear-cut chances like we had, for example, at Arsenal in the league when we lost, when Lukaku had the ball in the box. Yes. I mean...
But their chances against a City team, that's the best in the league. So they are chances, and you got to do something with them.
I'm just saying I'm trying to temper expectations. Like, I don't think this was enough to score a goal. So, you know, everyone's saying, oh, you know, United came out, their game plan worked. I don't really think so because at the end of the day, like, the best chance was the one-on-one with Rashford. And when we watched the break, and Ole in the post game said it, we practice this stuff all the time in training. It's not coming off. It's like, I think the passes on the break between Lingard and Rashford got to be sooner. It seems to me.
I agree.
The player who's responsible for putting Rashford or Lingard, whoever has the ball, to put the other player on the break, it seems that they always take too many touches. Like an extra two touches and then they play it out when everyone knows it's on. It seems to me that ball has to be right away, open up the defense. And if that Rashford ball was, he wouldn't have had that issue with Ederson coming out and being able to play it. And So there is some sort of rhythm in the front where we're not really playing into that counterattack as well as we should, because that ball should be on as soon as they get it and should be cutting open the defense.
I agree. We weren't clinical enough in our passing. When we got the break, we weren't fast enough. And I think they're a good fouling team. They try to stop you in transition. And they did it a bunch of times, and it worked effectively. And I think what we did was we slowed down, looked for space, and looked to pick out a pass. But they're good at dropping back. And, we had some chances in the first half. It was all from the break, really. And then, they probably had their best chance in the 44th minute, playing basically like if five-a-side stuff, ticky-tacky, and De Gea forced into a good save at the end of the first half. But how are your feelings going into halftime?
I mean, I didn't rate our offensive production. I didn't think it was sustainable, given, our legs would probably go. We knew the screws were going to come from City, given they finished strong with that chance. But I was thinking 0-0 was the best we could do. Right? I didn't think we were going to score. Nothing in the first half suggested that we really could score. And, if I were to rate those chances, they'd be less than half chances. I was thinking 0-0 at best. And what that does is win Liverpool the league, and we're out of top four. So, how are you feeling?
No, I mean, I thought first half was not the worst performance. We didn't create a ton, but we stuck
not
in
the
game.
Worst.
And we didn't. Well, let me speak, please. It wasn't the worst. Compared to Everton, I mean, like, that says a lot about us. We can only get up for the big opponents, but the boys, I think, got the tactics right. Considering, I think, probably shouldn't be starting Ashley Young these days. I'd like to see Dalot by now, and maybe tuck Darmian in and play Dalot in the right wing back position. But they hung with it, and then just in the second half, I think
yeah. But were we
going to
win?
Lost their legs because this.
Were we going to win? I mean, that like
we can always win, sir. We're Manchester United. You can nick a goal. I thought there's always a chance that we kept it pretty contained in the first half.
To praise that first half, like, that's the solution. Like those players and that team and those tactics are going to beat City at home. I mean, I came out. I mean, like, I think it's fair to say that draw would be best.
I think you need to have realistic expectations about what you're going to get. I think a draw would be a decent result for United. And I think Ole wouldn't mind a draw, bro, after the way we've been performing, right? Losing 4-0 to Everton.
Hey, we knew City were going to come, and they come out firing. Pep Guardiola obviously kicked him with the backside, and we didn't have to wait long. 54th minute.
Right side is Bernardo Silva, and he scored a massive goal for Manchester City in the title race. Delirium in the corner of Old Trafford. They've dominated the second half so far. How massive will that goal be in the final reckoning? United 0, City 1.
Goal from Bernardo Silva. I mean, we could break this down however you like, sir, but Pogba, Yagen doesn't get into that passing lane, which allows the ball to be played to Silva in the first place. I mean, no one's really going to slate him for that one, but if he had a little more hustle, we're coming right off halftime. He should close down that passing lane, cut off the pass to Bernardo Silva, and then Luke Shaw, he's got to get to this shot. De Gea also to blame. So I'm going to say three players going around 70% lead to this goal, and that is the theme for Manchester United as of late, is if all those players are going 100% and they are, playing till they have nothing in the tank, Pogba's there to block that passing lane, Shaw's there to block that shot, and De Gea is at his near post because that didn't go through anyone's legs. De Gea had a good sight on that shot, and that shouldn't go in his net if he's the world number one.
Vintage De Gea saving that shot. I mean, I think Pogba should be in that channel, block that pass, but you can't really blame that. Shaw probably should be giving him less space, but you also have been banking on a world-class goalkeeper, bro, and a world-class goalkeeper doesn't let that goal in. So I'm not going to blame De Gea because he bails out so many times that I don't have the right to criticize him, but not yet. But he's getting there, man, because he's had three mistakes this year, the most he's ever had in a Manchester United season that led to goals. And we still got some games to go, so hopefully he steps up big time against Chelsea.
Sir, blood was in the water. City was ripe to strike in the 56th minute. Aguero, some 1-2 touch stuff in our box. He hits the post. And then on the other side of the pitch, Lingard has a chance at an open net and just totally whiffs. He is completely out of form. I mean, get that kid off the pitch. Why is he starting in this match? I know that Ole probably wants him to do well, but nothing I've seen from Lingard suggests that he should be starting in this game.
I mean, on his day, I think on his day, he could have had a good day and could have scored a goal or two, and that would have been, that could have been the difference. But he didn't play up to his ability, and he didn't play up to the ability that we know he is capable of. But then again, he hasn't been on form, right? He hasn't been on form for like a month and a half. I don't know you give him that start. And I know, like, there ain't a lot of players that are on form. Rashford's not even on form. So there's not a lot, you know, maybe Sanchez, maybe give a pun on a young guy that's probably too far. Lukaku's not on form. Sanchez. He's not scoring goals. I mean, I would have liked to see Sanchez because he's got a point to prove. And he had two assists last time he played City and won away, that 3-2 comeback. So, yeah, man, he just didn't come off.
Hey, City, we're up for the challenge in the 65th minute.
Fred trying to find the feet of Pogba, only found those of Vincent Kompany. Look at that injection of pace from Raheem Sterling, and he's got support. Sané's free on the left-hand side. Here's Leroy Sané on the left foot. Sané shoots. 2-0. Leroy Sané has been electric since coming onto the field. Is this the night that Manchester City go into the box seat in the title race above Liverpool? They've got breathing room now. Manchester United 0, Manchester City 2.
Goal for Leroy Sané. Darmian gives him so much space, doesn't close him down. I mean, gutless stuff from United. And again, more shocking goalkeeping from the former world number one, David De Gea. His stock has dropped in the last month. I have no idea what's going on with him. I can only explain it by contract negotiations and him just not wanting to be in Manchester. This is a leading indicator. Clearly, he hasn't signed a new deal. We're negotiating with him. Maybe his agents got to him, but it sounds to me like something is in his head and he just doesn't want to be there, which is why we've seen him for 5-6 years be our player of the year. And now he is reduced to making goalkeeping errors, like being an issue for United.
Well, it was such a rare occurrence after his first season, after he settled in, for him to like have a mistake that led to a goal. And now that it's not that he just had three in a year, it's like they've all been in the last 2 months, sir. So it's worrying because he's been such a linchpin for this team, so important, so consistent, such a big game, such a huge game performer, right? All the big games against Arsenal, where he had, what, that was 14 saves last season. So to have him just like give up these kind of like, they're not soft goals, but they're goals that he would normally be saving. It's just,
and they're critical. They're critical. These are kill shots.
Oh, they are critical.
Like we're down by one. We're still in the kills match the against Barcelona and City, and then the second goal he gives away. It's I mean, it's pretty damning from David De Gea. I mean, I heard people calling for Romero to start the next match. I mean, I don't know about that, but at the end of the day, something's going on, and it seems systemic. 72nd minute, Ole's like, all right, bring out the subs. Let's put on Lukaku for Pereira. And the 83rd minute, we had a double sub. Sanchez for Sideburns and Martial for Lingard. Didn't do much here.
Didn't do much.
Clearly questions being asked of Martial after that last performance. Sanchez, you know, just taking that money. He's the number one mercenary at United. And
he had one touch the whole game, sir.
And Lukaku, in 12 minutes, you know, he had one touch. When he gets the ball in the box and he does that pity patter, I just laugh. I have no idea what he's doing with the ball. I mean, you can defend your boy, but I think Lukaku's as good as gone, sir.
Bro, I ain't
my lighter
foot.
We're ready to burn, baby, burn. We're burning that shirt, huh?
Right after we burn your 42 Pogba shirt, it'll be on a pile.
Hey,
with Darmian's
Pogba leaves, too. Yeah, Darmian.
Don't worry, we're burning that 42, bro. They're all getting burned. We're gonna have a
lot of
jerseys. We're gonna be like the red woman, just burning shirts on the side of the beach. Yeah. After that performance, bro, trust me, I am not defending Romelu Lukaku. I'm defending nobody. There is nobody
comical.
That gets
it's
defense.
It really is comical.
It's not just him. I mean, he was bad, but the whole team was bad, bro. We got outshined by a squad that is light years ahead of us in terms of investment, work rate. They look like they cared more, and they did. They do care more. They're league leaders. They got everything to play for, but so do we. We're playing at home in a derby, huge top four ramifications, and we didn't step up. So there you go. Another loss, sir.
Hey, guys. You know, it's a critical time in the season, and we were just like melting down. Ole has record.
Train
away
is off
wins.
The rails, bro. The trail's like train sideways.
Mean, the hype train just literally exploded. match reaction stats-wise, United 36% of the ball, the City 64%. I would say that is about what we expected. Shots on target, Manchester United 1, Manchester City 5. Now, this is the stat I have issue with, is that the offensive production was not there. Yes, you can say, oh, we had some half chances, but realistically, with the talent we got, short of a Ronaldo, like, over-the-shoulder, first-time volley, like, bang a top corner, like, we're not going to win. Manchester United have now lost 7 times in 9 games for the first time since 1962. Alarm bells are going off. I mean, Ole at the wheel. How good does it feel? Now we're just melting down, sir. Manchester City have won 7 away Premier League games against Manchester United at Old Trafford, more than any other team. Gutted. And United have now lost 7 of their past 9 games in all competitions. Like we mentioned, they've won 2 that we haven't even drawn. We lost 7. And this is after losing only one of their first 17 games under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So this is like straight up the mountain, straight down the mountain. And a lot of people said, why did you give Ole the deal on the hype? Why didn't you wait till the end of the season? I still want him to be our manager. I would never question that. That timing, we did talk about it on this podcast. Why that time? You should have waited. Why did you give him the deal? Because, like, I think it affected the players. How do you go from everyone playing lights out, you give Ole the deal, and then it's just like meltdown city? Now, I'm sure that's a coincidence in some regard, but I do think there was some fight in the players to get him the job.
It might have been a catalyst. No, I think you're right. I mean, I think it like made it, pushed it over the edge, but this is like long-time issues of the club that have been festering for years, right? They have not invested in this club in any serious manner, really, since the acquisition. I know we spent a lot of money, but they're just pissing away money, and they're not spending it thoughtfully and the right way. So we've been exposed, bro, and we needed to be exposed, because I think United fans need to have open eyes about what kind of project they're entering into with Ole. We're all behind Ole. Dude, I don't think this is down to Ole. Some of it might be, but really it's like...
The players are a bunch of mercenaries, bro,
that, like, I think a lot of them are there for the wrong reasons, are not United material, and he needs to rebuild this squad with those kind of players. The players that want to play for the badge, that it's not all about money. I know money's important, and we're going to have to pay top dollar to get good players in, but, like, they want to play for United because United is Manchester fucking United, and not just some rinky-dink club, bro. We are the most famous club in England, one of the most famous clubs in the world.
Yeah, we're not some rinky-dink club winning all the trophies that just happen to have some chic oil money, which is our noisy neighbors. United are without a clean sheet in 12 consecutive matches in all competitions for the first time since August 1971. This is important because Ed Woodward has not signed a defender. He has had 2 transfer windows looking in that defense. Mourinho asked him for a defender, so for everyone who wants to slate Mourinho, he saw the issues we had.
He was right.
And he asked Ed Woodward for a defender. Ed Woodward said, I don't see any value on the market, and we set a record pretty much for not having a clean sheet. Streak,
no, most
and
goals
letting
conceded.
In the
most goals conceded for a United team.
I mean, since the 70s, I mean, that is saying something. Almost 50 years. Sir, what do we know? Let's jump in and hear from the gaffer, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I'm not reflected on the statistics, but we've reflected on that we don't score goals. We make efforts. We don't really... we created chances today as well, but we don't take them. And, of course, that's... something we need to improve on. So, something that you can't really say that it's a lack of effort, but it's the quality in the end today wasn't good enough today either.
Was it just a difference in class?
Towards the end, you can see the difference, and I thought we held our own. The players came out with a great. Like attitude, we wanted to get a reaction. You got a reaction from them. You got a reaction from the crowd. We had some half decent chances. They had probably the biggest one with Sterling, of course, just before half time. But at half time, you felt you're still in the game, and then more and more the game went on after they scored. Of course, you could see the difference.
It's tough to watch Ole come out in these pressers and try to defend these players. Again, it was better than Everton, but when you're measuring everything against that Everton performance, anything's going to be better. I say if we beat Everton and we play like that against City, everyone's mad. But when you compare it to that worst performance of the season, it can't be worse than that. So the comparison's a little tricky for me. Our standards should be higher. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative. Everton was probably like one of the worst performances I've ever seen Manchester United perform in my, 15-year fandom. So it's all relative. But nothing to be proud of in that City performance. Like, they went for it at the beginning in terms of just sticking with them, but we we got eclipsed by a team that's way ahead of us, got a better squad, and great, sir. As you're going to tell by my headlines coming up and then my special feature for Derby weekend, I'm not feeling great.
Let's jump in. Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow today, sir. Give us your salty take on Manchester United versus Manchester City.
Sir, and I said it earlier, leagues apart. The gulf between United and City just shows the result of us haphazardly investing in our club from manager to manager versus implementing a footballing structure across managers and spending money every window. We're years behind City, and likely, this is sad as me to say it, we won't catch up until we sell this squad, right? This team, I mean, right? Like, until the Glazers sell United, we'll never be challenging for titles and Champions Leagues in the same season. It won't happen.
Bold statement, sir. Next headline.
Next one. Sorry, mate, but Captain Kangaroo. Ashley Young will be remembered as the worst United captain in the modern history of Manchester United, and that says everything about how the club is run and little about Young as a player. Once again, he was woeful, but he should have been playing in the MLS for years by now. I mean, Ashley Young, bro, it's not his fault he's playing right back, but it says a lot about this club.
Dude, Shaw was the center backs right. Shaw was the one who didn't close. Shaw and Darmian are the two to blame for the goals. I mean, Young definitely didn't look great, but he didn't have a shocker. I mean, it was
He was pretty abysmal, bro. Darmian, I think, was better than Young all day. And Shaw, I know he left the goal directly, but he's an overall performance.
The Cyburns are back. Sir, next
headline. I think Cyburns got a feature. I think Cyburns might feature very, very soon. And this is the saddest headline yet. It's David DeBravo. When do we trade Claudio Bravo for David De Gea? Ever since the contract renewal dragged well into the Ole reign, De Gea has been as shaky as his first season as United. I think he needs to get his head back in the team, but more wage issues are bleeding onto the field, sir.
And leaving.
I think this is like, no, he's definitely leaving.
He's leaving.
Paul is probably leaving. Sounds like Lukaku wants to leave. And a lot of this is like the Sanchez blowover, which is just like bleeding into everybody. You know, Rashford wanted $200,000 a week. Now he's pissed off. It's not good, sir.
Sir, you have a special segment today, and you just made this on your own yesterday because you were so mad about the game. You have some nicknames for all of our garbage players, sir. Hit us with these nicknames. I mean, these are pretty solid.
So this is a jest. I want to caveat this. I was pissed, super pissed after the game, and I just started renaming some of the players. So I love this team, but I'm just, for one time only, we're going to have new nicknames for all the players. First one is Jesse Lynn Garbage. I think we know what that is about. David DeBravo, after his performance, Ashley Young is now known as Captain Kangaroo, based on his legacy as a Manchester United captain. Tony Mean Muggin, no scoring, Martial. Romelu, Clubfoot Lukaku.
I like
Luke
that one.
Shoffle. Luke Shoffle is pretty good.
That's it.
Fred Waite City's interested. Rodriguez. Alexis Ferrar, recent Jaguars money, anything Sanchez. Paul won the World Cup, so Pogba.
No,
and
I like
Chris, new 10-year
like
contract,
Paul
Smalling.
Yagba. Paul Yagba. That's my.
There you go, sir. And last but not least, Phil Physio Room Jones. Well,
sir,
sorry.
Apologize
in advance. I know that's not necessary,
salty.
Not needed, but I'm salty after this performance. After 6-9 or 7-9 losses, I'm a little salty.
Hey, let's jump in with the Twitterverse, check in with some key opinion leaders here. At Liam Paul Canning on Twitter, he says, complacency and arrogance has killed Manchester United since 2013. They haven't adapted or innovated. They've stagnated and wonder why they are not a top team. Won't change until there's a change at the top, which you alluded to, the new ownership. Couldn't agree more. And then one more, which was pure banter from at Brian McClare 13 on Twitter. Quote, Liverpool fans want United to win. United fans want City to win. City just want fans, sir. And this says it all, which is City are playing the best out of any
banter.
Team. And they don't have any fans. If you've seen the when they come off the bus, they do all the announcements. It's a riot the way they're trying
to
create fans.
That's so bad.
Like so
that's
sad.
So bad.
Next level. But hey, there's always next match, sir. That's why we play the beautiful game. There's only three more in this season. It's been a long haul, hell of a year. The ups and the downs, too many to count. And right now, we need to break this form. We need to come out, and we need a boss. That's right. Hollo, hollo, hollo. Chelsea success is fucking hollo. All the money you took from the big Russian crook.
From the big Russian crook.
And you'll never win three in a row.
Remember that.
Manchester United versus Chelsea at Old Trafford. Sunday, April 28th at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. Hell of a match. It all comes down to us playing those hollow bastards at home.
Chelsea scum, sir.
Chelsea scum, sir.
One of my favorite teams to beat, and we need to beat them, right? Because they sit in fourth place on 67 points, and United sits in sixth place. Lucky number six. We love sixth place on 64 points. But now it's the goal differential that matters, bro. That's where, like, getting blown out by Everton might fuck us, because we have a plus 13 GD, and they have a plus 21 GD. So we need to, like, we could definitely use a smoking of Chelsea.
Like a 3-0. That would
be good,
that'd
be good for the books.
Yeah, 3-0 could put us into it. 3-4-0 could put us into it, especially with Huddersfield and Cardiff to go. So you have to take that into account, especially how, you know, if we can get them, score a few goals, get them below 20, we can get to, like, you know, that 16 mark. Then we're in. This is really. It's just how many can you score against Cardiff and Huddersfield? Again, Arsenal. They look like they're fading fast. And these games we called out with Chelsea, Tottenham, and Arsenal. I mean, they're up for grabs. They're totally up for grabs. So we're jumping into the tactical breakdown here, just real quick, as we're doing this podcast on the road. Sarri has favored the 4-3-3 as of late. He's been rotating Hazard as the number 9 or playing him out on the left. Most recently, he played him out on the left, and he put Higuain in the number 9 role. He did score but was subbed. If you saw Chelsea's last match against Burnley, he was Higuain was throwing water bottles, the chump that he is. Chelsea will traditionally look to boss the midfield with Jorginho, Conte, and Loftus-Cheek has been getting time in there, and they're going to rely on Hazard to cut open United's back line. From a transfer watch perspective, Hudson-Odoi, he's been featuring on the right of the 4-3-3 of the attacking options for Chelsea. He has been linked to, I want to say, Bayern Munich, the Bundesliga, as well as Manchester United and every top club, because Chelsea are contemplating whether to sign him or not, and the youngster, he wants playing time. So wherever he goes, he's going to want to play, and Chelsea's notorious for not playing the youngsters. As far as players to watch for, it's pretty simple. We play them all the time. We know Hazard is the only guy we got to worry about on that field. Giroud ain't scoring.
Beetlejuice, bro. Watch Hazard, he's good. I mean, he's their
Higuain,
team.
Higuain ain't scoring, bro. I mean,
Chubby Checkers, Higuain. Yeah, I'm Chubby not worried checkers, about him, bro. So maybe there's a pizza at the end of that ball, but
I mean, for me, it's as simple as this. We gotta go 4-3-3. We gotta punch him in the mouth. I like the idea of Big Luke. He has a Chelsea roots. You know, you play him because he hates Chelsea. You gotta give him a chance, right? Or Greenwood, someone has to come in and take ownership of the attacking options for Manchester United. Quickly for United, the injury rooms, physio room, like you said, Phil Jones, he's back in it with a knock. Herrera, he's gambling. He's already hanging out in Paris with the plastics. Eric Bailly is out, and Antonio Valencia, he has set sail the ocean blue. For MLS.
I was going to the US of A, sir, joining us stateside.
Hey,
enjoy, Antonio.
Ain't bad. Lineup, what do you got?
Sir, I'm going 4-3-3. Just like you said, we got to go for Chelsea. This is not a team as dangerous as City, so we should go for it and have every right to. And this is a shocker for me, but I'm going to do it. I'm doing Romero in net, bro, because David De Gea does not look like his head's in the game, and Romero is the most capable backup in the world. So Romero starting, Dalot right back. See, Captain Kangaroo, you can sit on the bench. Small and Lindelof in the center as center backs, and then Shaw at left back. I'm going to do a midfield three of McTominay, Matic, and Pogba, and a front three of Sanchez, Lukaku, and Rashford.
Alrighty, I'm doing the 4-3-3 as well. Dave Saves, the former world number one, is in net. There's no chance Romero starts, sir, by the way.
I know, I'm just being, sir, like salty pod, sir. This is a salty Alex
this is
pod.
Muppetry. You should, you know, you can't lower our standards on this podcast, putting Romero in net.
Sir, 7 out of 9 games.
Ashley Young, Captain Kangaroo. Got to have the captain. Smalling, Lindelof, Shaw, McTominay, Pereira, Pogba, Sanchez, Lukaku, and Rashford. Sanchez on the left, Lukaku down the middle, beast mode, and then Rashford on the right. I think you got to take Rashford out of the number 9 role as he is not doing anything. And Lukaku, for some reason, I have a feeling like he's been playing terribly, and then he comes good. So if anyone could,
he scored against
good,
Chelsea last season at home. You know, he likes playing against the old club.
I mean, who else is going to come good? You're looking, I mean, other than Mason
Pogba.
Greenwood, you know, I mean, yeah, Pogba ain't coming good. Booking the bookies, they have no idea what's going on here. Look at these
odds.
We're
both odds. Salty, sir.
Chelsea to win plus 151. Manchester United to win plus 149. The draw plus 213. I mean, these odds are disrespectful to our house, Old Trafford. But again, I couldn't tell you who's going to win. The bookies couldn't tell you who's going to win. Chelsea can come in and hit us for 4-5. We can hit Chelsea for 4-5. I don't think so based on our form. I mean, I would shade to Chelsea having a result here as they seem to be not as downtrodden mentally as Manchester United. It seems that the Everton loss and the City loss were kind of, we're kind of in the doldrums here mentally at Manchester United, and Chelsea seemed to at least have some fight. I mean, they tied Burnley, you know. It's not as bad as that Everton loss.
No, it's not. 2-2 against Burnley sounds about 4-0, like just drubbing to Everton, who's not good. Trash team. Yeah, they're coming in with more confidence, bro. They're coming in with more confidence, but we're still Manchester United, and we're still at home, and this is not the best Chelsea team we'll ever play. So this is a beatable team. We got to win this game. We got to go in guns blazing, get early goals, and take our chances because we have not been scoring. I know the defense has been shaky, but if you come out with a quick goal, it gives people confidence, and it's what this team needs right now because we are short on it, bro. We are real short on it. Just like this pod is negative, the team is short on confidence.
I don't think this pod is totally negative. I'm excited for the rebuild. I really am. Like, as
long as 4.0, bro.
I mean, as sad as it sounds, as long as Liverpool don't win the league, like, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. Like, look, I realized we were going to make top four a little while ago. Like, I'm going to say a few games into this slide, I was like, you got to finish strong. If you want anything out of the EPL, if you want to win the EPL, you want to be in top four nowadays with all the competition, all the money that all these teams have, you got to finish strong. And we're not finishing strong. So for us to be like, okay, yes, we're relying, like, once it's out of your hands, like, can I really rely on Arsenal to choke? I can, but can I really rely on Arsenal and Chelsea to both choke simultaneously? It's like you're getting in some, 7% chance territory. And when you're there, I'm just looking forward to the rebuild, sir. Give me your prediction. What do you think of this Chelsea match?
Sir, 2-1 United, never say die. Top four race, still in it.
You sound real confident. You sound real confident.
I'm so confident. Can you tell how confident I am based on all the nicknames? I'm so confident. 2-1.
Sir, 5-0. Manchester United, 5-0.
5-0. I love it.
Rocking display at Old Trafford. Always at the wheel. How good does it feel? Never say die. We're back in top four on goal differential. You know, that's what we need. Big performance. So you're saying there's a chance. That's what I'm saying.
I like
all
it, sir. I like it, sir.
United,
I feel good. I feel better now. I feel more confident.
United in the news. Manchester United ready to offer Mike Phelan role of technical director and promote Michael Carrick to assistant manager. I really like this from the club. Again, I look at the Solskjaer Mafia. That's what I'm going to call him. Mike Phelan, Michael Carrick, and Solskjaer. I like the idea of Phelan being our technical director. He knows what it takes to win leagues, and I'm pretty sure he knows who to get rid of. So I would really like to see that appointment, and that's probably why it has taken so long to get his deal done. Obviously, Michael Carrick staying or being promoted to assistant manager, I think, is great. So win-win
like
all
it,
around
sir.
For United. Love no, this bit of news.
I think it's a big mistake for Manchester United. I love Mick Phelan. He's been a great assistant manager for this club and under Fergie and then come back under Ole, but I think you want to get someone that's done it before at another club.
Massive
a track
mistake.
Instead of, sir, it's a massive mistake. You don't massive do like mistake. A first timer, right? Like put in a first timer and hope that it works out the best. You do tried and true. You get a guy that's done it at another club, at a number of series of clubs, likely a guy. And have him
voice,
do it United.
What is this?
It's just like
reason?
you don't try to find someone that's never done the job before. And yeah, exactly. I love Mick Phelan, bro. I mean, like, it sounds
well,
good, but
same,
I think this is more of this is more like Woodward giving himself cover, right? Because
yeah,
they're not going to
extrapolate.
Crack on. It's the same thing, bro. It's
Pochettino
the same shit,
should be our
worse.
Manager then, right? You want to take that logic and be like, okay, well, Ole shouldn't be our manager. What has Ole done? He hasn't done it.
Well, at least he managed a club. This guy, Phelan's never been a technical director.
No, I know. It seems like we're taking it even further. But
I mean,
it's like there is something
up?
To be said
and
about
like,
that, right? There is something to be said about the fact that we're so close to the club.
Yeah, I think it's a farther stretch. I think it's a farther stretch for Mick.
I mean, yeah. Well, we shall see. I mean, like, here's the way it goes. Phelan, Carrick, and Solskjaer, they're either going to win or they're going to die. I mean, that's the way it works, right? I mean, it's
basically,
like when you play the Game of Thrones, you either win or you die. That's the way it works at Manchester United, and you're probably going to die. If your name's not Ed Woodward, by the way, Woodward just keeps going. Next article, Telegraph exclusive, Manchester United considered Darren Fletcher for new role as part of revamped recruitment strategy. Obviously, Darren Fletcher, club legend. I think this is a great direction for the club. Sir, what do you think?
I mean, Darren Fletcher, definitely want him back in the fold. Smart guy, great player, hard worker. Sign me up, bro. I want more legends in roles. I just not necessarily, you know, running the whole thing, unless they're qualified to. Van der Sar, I might take as a CEO, but Eddie's not giving that job up.
Sir, next article comes from the Twitterverse. Mohamed Bousafi. Four clubs have already positioned themselves in the Benfica João Felix race. Manchester City, if Manchester City are involved, they need João Felix. Think of that. They're going to get rid of Leroy Sané, probably. Juventus, Liverpool, and Manchester United. The player will leave Benfica this summer, and the release clause is $120 million. So, again, I don't think United really need to be playing in these mega signings. When you look at, I think, another great argument that was brought up on Sky Sports post-match was when you're a Manchester City and you look at what you got there, you can buy a João Felix for $130 million.
Right.
Because, like, Mars, $70 million for Mars, he doesn't play. Because guess what? We have a great team and we win. So it's
nice
matter.
To have, not a need to have.
Yeah, you can take a punt. But when United need players and we need starters, it's like you can't be taking a punt on a 19-year-old here. And so I think the direction the club needs to go, like, proven English youth.
Well, what about Sancho, though?
No, Sancho's proven English youth.
He's, like, technically.
He's proven.
I mean, but he's banging in goals. João Felix is banging in, like, Ronaldo-esque
goals.
Not
as much as Sancho. If you look at Sancho's stats in the Bundesliga, he started more. He has less. He's been injured less. He's more consistent production, and he's in England, in the England team as well, which I think mixes with
stats.
Rashford and Lingard better. You know, I like Harry Maguire. I like Declan Rice. I like Jadon Sancho. I think the João Felix, this is more speculative. Let Real Madrid and everyone fight that out. Next article, Arsenal, Man United, and Spurs make Wilfred Zaha decision amid £75 million asking price. This is per the Mail. So, again, English teams interested in another English player, Wilfred Zaha. I don't know if Manchester United are going to splash the cash once again, sir. What do you think?
I think if we had a buyback clause, this would have happened maybe a year ago, but $75 million is probably too much for Zaha. I think he still has some attitude issues. I like Sancho. I think a lot of the other players like Sancho, and I think the club's followed him for a while. So I think that's the more likely right-wing acquisition this summer.
Smoke screen, probably, right?
You got it, baby. Sir, what's grinding John's gears this week?
Sir, you know what grinds my gears? What really grinds my gears is when Liverpool fans text me that they're rooting for Manchester United. I mean, this, to me, it's like, look, you want to win the league, go win the league. Don't win it because we're going to win it for you. I mean, that's just total, like, you know, that's total BS across the board. Liverpool are spineless. You know, they're our top rival. Everyone, City are the noisy neighbors. You know, they haven't won that many leagues, sir, compared to Liverpool, who's on 18. So I think City has 5. I mean, if City win, it's nothing. Liverpool win, the banter, the Twitterverse, even NBC, LFC, it's going to be...
Ugh.
Documentaries.
It's gonna be so great if they
years,
lose. It's gonna
everyone,
be so great if they don't win
and
anything.
If they don't win anything and they have a record year, everyone plays lights out. And I think what's gonna happen if they don't win is Salah's gonna leave. People are going to leave Liverpool. It's a matter of time, just because of the fact that this club, if they don't get there, they don't win any silverware. Over 2 years, Champions League final, they don't win the Champions League this year, and they lose the league. I mean, that's a something is going to happen. There's going to be like a bugaboo at Liverpool. But Liverpool fans, don't text me. I don't want you to win the league. I ain't embracing your support. Like, get out of here. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah. That's
it's
the
like,
worst support
you know,
possible.
It's like I watched that game. I was like, I hope we win for top four. And then as soon as we lost, I was like, all right, well, you know what? Screw Liverpool. So that ain't bad. That ain't bad.
That ain't bad.
It's actually great. So of all the
you know the real problem, sir? The real problem is that there actually are Liverpool fans and there are no City fans. There's nobody text us when City wins.
No.
Liverpool.
No.
There's actually people to talk to you. City is like,
we know one City fan.
I know one City fan.
We know one.
I know
of
one
them.
City fan.
We know one of them, sir.
There's one. There's one.
But hey, it's been a hell of a week. And like we said, if you're listening to this pod at this stage, in the team in this form, you are the hardcore supporters. And we really appreciate your support. Sir, give us the top 10 cities last 7 days. Just run us straight through that list.
I'm going to go straight down. Top 10 last 7 days. Number one, Hyattsville, Maryland. How you doing? How you doing? Number two, New York, New York. Number three, San Francisco, California, a.k.a. HQ. Number four, Southern New Jersey. What up, what up? Shout out there. Number five, Dublin, Ireland. Number six, Oslo, Norway, a.k.a. Shireton. How you guys doing? Good to have you back on the board. Number seven, London, UK. Number eight, Hotlanta, Georgia. Number nine, Gulfport, Mississippi. And rounding it out, number 10, Los Angeles, California. How you doing? How you doing? Thank you for the downloads. Another great week. Not on the performance side, but the podcasts have not been bad.
Yeah, and look, I'm excited for the things to come, you know?
4.0, baby.
I'm excited for the next rebuild because, you know, of all the people that can rebuild our team, Moyes, don't like that. LVG, meh. And then Mourinho, like, the way he would rebuild it would be, like, bring in veterans and overpay for them.
Short-term rebuild.
Short-term rebuild, which destroys your team. But, you know, having Ole at the helm, and the question is, like, what type of decisions he's making. But him and Phelan together, I think we'll get a classic United team or want to play that classic, powerful, counterattacking football. And having, you know, that's why I don't mind Mick. If you're going to have Ole as manager, I don't mind Mick Phelan as director of football because I know what they're going to go for, right? And having that be the style of play we're shooting for at Manchester United makes me more excited than giving it to, like, you know, a Pochettino, for example. You know, having Pochettino be our manager, you know, the football looks good, but they don't get results. So, again, the times have changed, so you don't know if it's the right appointment, but I'm looking towards the summer. I'm looking towards next year, and like you said, 4.0, sir, 4.0.
I just hope the manager is backed. I hope the board backs him, and we spend real cash, a.k.a. Ed Woodward 350, because we're going to need to spend all 350, sir.
Thank you to everyone who's filled out our end-of-the-season survey that we're conducting right now. So, you know, this podcast is made by fans for fans, and your feedback really matters to us. It's pinned on our Twitter and our Facebook profile. If you fill it out, you have a chance to win a 2019-2020 Manchester United jersey of your choice, home, away, third team, the player and size that you like. Plus, we'll be giving away the inaugural Manchester United American Red Devils scarf. So, you know, it's just 5 minutes of your time, and you have a chance to win some great Manchester United swag. I mean, maybe you want to get a Lukaku jersey just to burn it, or maybe you want to get whoever our big next big signing is. You never know at Manchester United. It's always a revolving door here, but please fill out that survey so we can make this content better. And one thing, sir, we haven't talked about, just to finish off the pod, a little quick note. What'd you make of Pogba's comments coming out to Sky Sports midweek and saying that it was a disgraceful performance, and he had, like, a pity party? Roy Keane said, you can't believe a word this guy says. And I'm actually almost with Roy Keane because, like, even if Pogba comes out and is, like, saying how bad they played, I don't think might stay, right? He's just doing that for damage control, right? For me, I could see him saying that.
I got three words for you, bro. I got three words for you. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It's like, I don't give a fuck what you got to say to Sky Sports. I want to see it on the field. And didn't show up against Everton. City, I mean, he gave it a try and then faded and stopped running, but I don't really give a shit what he says to, you know.
It's bizarre,
Sky
right?
Sports, to a pundit.
Did,
it's like,
did Ole
it's
make
about
him
the field, bro.
Because I think here's the thing we're getting at is that De Gea's head's out elsewhere, right? And Ole's not coming out and, like, defending De Gea. De Gea's not going on Sky Sports. But when it seems like when Pogba is in hot water, Ole comes to the rescue. Pogba said something about Madrid, Ole to the rescue. He's going nowhere. I talked to Pogba. Everything's good. Everyone's slating Pogba in the post game. Pogba goes on Sky Sports. I mean, there has to be some sort of damage control here because I think United want to keep Paul Pogba. I think I'm growing more confident that we're going to keep him at the club because of how we're trying to manage the PR aspect of it with him.
We'll see. I mean, it might be us trying to court him and show how valuable he is to the club so he will stay because he hasn't made a decision yet or he's leaning on the way out.
No, Pogba's in front of Sky Sports because Manchester United's PR group got him in front of Sky Sports per the club.
Because he's still under contract. Because right now he's still under contract. But I also think, like, they're trying to make him look good. They're giving him a chance to apologize because that actually makes Pogba look good. Forget the club. But I don't know what's happening, man. There's a lot of posturing.
A lot of posturing. So, again, it's going to be an exciting summer.
It's going to be a long summer.
You know, as much as we're a fan of the product on the pitch, it's like the more I get into it, you know, who's the director of football, what we're going to do with this team, and our plan to do a podcast of what would we do with this team, who would we sign, how much would it cost, who would we get rid of. I think that aspect of this team is going to be interesting because, you know, like you said, we want to win that league next year, the year after. What can we do to do that and what decisions need to be made? What are the core issues with this squad? A lot of questions to be asked, sir. And, you know, we've been singing it for a long time, and it's probably the best part about this podcast because I always listen to the last 5 minutes, sir. How good does it feel?
I was at the wheel.